Well, just sort of background. The Mission Creek Channel is what's historically remains from the original Mission Creek, which came down from Twin Peaks. Mission Dolores was actually accessible via Mission Creek from the Mission Bay, and it was filled in. Mission Bay was filled in as San Francisco expanded madly in the Gold Rush times, and it grew 80,000 people in 20 years. I mean, it was insane the amount of growth. And so they just pushed things out of the way, and all these swamps that were Mission Bay and so forth were in the way. So they took down the sand dunes, they took down the whatever rocks and mountains they could and dumped them into the bay. But they kept this Mission Creek Channel. And there was, in the 19th century especially, a very lively port of boats coming in, hay scows from Sacramento, bringing in hay for the horses. There were lumber came in, there was paint factories. It was just unbelievably vital area. And called China Basin also because Chinese immigrants came in at the end point there too. So what happened to the creek was that it was basically paved over eventually, except, you know, right here, this channel. And it was treated as a sewer, basically. And there was a butcher that was up at the far end there and a dump, you know, about where 7th Street at the end of the channel. And they just dumped in everything, all the offal and everything from the butchers. It was a sewer.
In fact, we used to clean their tanks, so we had a whiteout every Friday night. Just the whole creek would turn white. We talked to the Department of Public Works about it. Oh, they couldn't find the source of it.
There was also later on during World War II, there were all kinds of Navy ships in here. Dumped their oil barrels over. It was said that if you fell into the creek in the 19th century, they'd wait to see if you made it to the shore before they bothered to try to take you to the hospital. It was just so toxic that it was insane. Fortunately, as part of the environmental movement and as development is coming in here, the creek is now seen as an amenity rather than as a sewer. So they moved the freeway back from it. And slowly, bit by bit, this creek is recovering. There is still oil from some of the earlier times that comes up at low tide when the pressure is, so you can still see it. But the variety of life that's here now is pretty spectacular. We have some 94 different kinds of birds that have been seen over the years, and some gorgeous, charismatic great egrets and snowy egrets, black-crowned night herons, and the great blue heron. Along with all kinds of winter ducks and grebes and a kingfisher, and plus all kinds of things under the water. We have Dungeness crabs, rock crabs, you know, all kinds of barnacles and sea squirts and other kinds of life. And a lot of this has to do with the life comes also from the fish. We have anchovies and sardines and shiners that come in. And sometimes there's been some very exciting moments here where when there's large amounts of fish, then we also get brown pelicans coming in and just dropping out of the sky, and sea lions come in and splashing around, grabbing mouthfuls of fish, and it's very, very exciting. And it doesn't happen all that often, but when it does, it's just really something else. So anyway, part of what the Mission Creek Conservancy has been doing is we encouraged Catellus to do habitat enhancement plantings, and they got a very good wetlands biologist to plan that and put it in. And we are continuing along our little area behind the houseboats.
Well, let me just say, one of the agreements we made in the discussions about the parks that are going to be built here was to include the present Huffaker Park within that larger, but we would maintain control over it so we could keep the planting. So we've got contrasting parks. One is the corporate type park over there, which is very well maintained, but ours will be very different. It's maintained by us. It's a whole different. The grass in our place is not going to look as shaved as that grass over there, but it won't have herbicides on it either. So, you know. there were a bunch of houseboats, what do you call them, who just kind of created themselves.
Squatters,
yeah, that's the word, on Islayas Creek. And the port wanted to do something, so they moved them down to Mission Creek. It was supposed to be temporary. Oh, let's see. No, they wanted to get rid of them. They wanted to get rid of them. And they threatened to bring the houseboats down by the ferry building and burn them if they tried to do that. So the port relented, and they created this small harbor here. I'm trying to think of the name of the port commissioner, the port director, not commissioner, port director who was there. But he'd known about houseboats in Seattle. And he's just a wonderful guy. And so he said, well, let's make a harbor for him. So they used old salvaged lumber from pier, what do you call it, destruction, and they used it down here, and they built this for us. And they suggested that we form a nonprofit corporation. They gave us, they were going to give us a lease. Anyway, the whole thing was set up, and the docks were built, and so on. It came to the Port Commission for approval, but Tom Soles is his name. But Tom had objected to, he's a very strong-willed guy, he objected to the proposed city development down there somewhere. You'll probably hear about it. So they fired him. And he was fired the same day that this came up for approval. And Tony Termina, who was the port attorney at the time, I believe, stuck the agreement in his pocket. And that was the end of it for about 8 years. That's about when I, at that time, is when I moved down to the creek, about the next year.
It was about 1979, I believe, that we got squashed.
Okay. Yeah. So we spent the next 10 years or so, just trying to get things together. By then, the BCDC approval had been given to the harbor down here. The park requirement was in there, and so on. And took about 10 years.
We're a little democratic community. We make all our decisions, and people take different. We have a president and a secretary and a treasurer and a harbor master. The harbor master is very, very important because his or her job is to, you know, keep the place afloat. And there's lots of challenges here, so we do have to help each other, pay attention to what's happening to each other's boats. We all rally if somebody's boat is in trouble, or people need help in other ways. So there's a lot of support in the community. And at these monthly meetings, we decide how we're going to manage things and how we're going to, we charge only as much rent as we to ourselves as we need to keep the harbor going and put aside some money for future construction and whatever we need for the parks. And so it's been, I think it's been an incredible thing to watch people learn how to work together. And I've never seen the creek so working so well as it does now. And people start things and people chip in and help. And we've done a lot lately. It used to be so that nobody remembered anything from the meetings and nobody wrote it down. And nobody bothered to pay their rent. So things have really changed in a very nice way.
Well, let me give a first perspective. It's kind of grown. The creek has changed. There used to be a lot of druggies, ex-druggies down here, and basically offcasts, community offcasts. The boats were smaller. This is a huge boat at the time it was built. But now the population is upscaling, particularly in economic terms. So the people who bought the house next door just moved in. They're executives in a major industry, the hotel industry and the
solar
industry, the both of them. Wonderful people. You know, they saw the creek and they wanted to be here, you know, and they're incredible assets. But there's been that elevation, change in the community. So I think, I don't think any of the old really bums, kind of, who used to be here. Not bad people, you know, just different class, you know, much lower class. So that's one change here. The change on the outside, of course, is, you know, is monumental. I can walk to get a cup of tea now.
There were large areas that were just well, feral areas, basically. And all this development has really civilized it quite a great deal. There's, there's more, there's less wiggle room. On the other hand, it's really nice to be able to go, and there's a new library down at the end, which has been wonderful, and restaurants and coffee shops, and and a lot less dust, and and a lot of really nice neighbors. I think we have a lot of nice neighbors, and so I was worried about it, but I actually like what's happened, and I feel like we're appreciated by the neighborhood, and we want to strengthen the wildlife component here because it's a special opportunity for people in San Francisco and visitors to see wildlife up pretty close.